It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome in to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad you're with us on a Friday morning.
Why are you looking at me like that? Are you still laughing at what I said?
Carl said it first, not me.
I said it to her, though.
Okay.
Mark Cox, whatever.
Yes, I said the so-called Savannah Bananas, and Carl says they are the Savannah Bananas. I know that's their name, but for some reason, I just felt the need to say the so-called. It's just an odd name, but I actually would enjoy seeing them.
I was out of the room at the moment that happened. Who are the Savannah Bananas? Is it a minor league team?
Yes, it's a minor league.
But it's like But it's fun. It's almost like
it's like the St. Paul Saints.
Wouldn't it be like the Harlem Globetrotters where they're doing fun stuff? They make light of it. It's not like a serious baseball game. I mean, they play baseball, but it's not.
Yeah, Harlem Globetrotters are
good analogy. Okay, there we go.
And the St. Paul Saints are another team
Wait, can I clarify something really fast? The so-called Harlem Globetrotters.
The so-called Harlem Globetrotters.
They're called that,
very popular. They're going to, this tour hits a lot of Major League Baseball stadiums this year.
Oh, nice.
And tickets are very hard to find, which is why there's a ticket lottery. They sell out their home games all the time.
Surprising.
These ticket lotteries, though.
I've never heard of them.
Seem silly.
That's funny. All right,
Mark. So you know, they're the so-called Savannah.
You would go down a YouTube rabbit hole if you looked up.
If you watched them?
Just keep watching videos.
All right. And good to know, I guess. All right, it's Friday. We're glad you're with us. Fourth day of October. We are live up on Rumble. We appreciate you joining us on there. More and more people seem to have made the switch there. We obviously will maybe get back on Facebook when we get out of Facebook jail at some point, but I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know if it's next week, whatever. Twitter is another good place to follow us, or X, or whatever the hell it is you want to call it these days, so-called X. So-called Twitter.
Now that is correct.
Yeah, there you go. So-called Twitter, I guess. We're going to have everything up on the podcast here shortly for you. The voter guide's available, 971talk.com. So feel free to go get that and take a look at those important issues. Had a great interview yesterday on this. We're going to have her back on talking about Amendment 3 and all the things you don't know about it. There are 5 amendments and a proposition this time. You got to get on there and educate yourself on what these are before you get to the voter booth. If not, it's going to take you a long time to try to read all these and decipher what they're really getting at. I've kind of done that for you. I've given you some cliff notes, and then you can go in and vote however you feel after you read my comments on it. And I'm just trying to make it easy on you. So that's there. We're going to get to Courtney Vail coming up. She is a local researcher who says students in Missouri are at a disadvantage compared to some of the students around the country when it comes to when they have to get their pretty little sleepy heads out of bed in the morning. And I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for them, but she thinks it's something Missouri needs to change. So we're going to talk to her up here in just a couple of minutes. But first, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Kamala spent all her FEMA money, billions of dollars, on housing for illegal migrants, many of whom should not be in our country.
Wow. The president yesterday talking about this situation with the storms. We were talking about relief convoys heading down there from St. Louis today. He's like, if all of the money had not been wasted on propping up illegals you welcomed into the country, we'd have enough for American citizens in need.
So is MSNBC just like doing whatever it takes to get Kamala elected?
Yes. This news network is indistinguishable from the party.
Wow, that is an MSNBC producer admitting what we've all known all along. It just he happened to admit it undercover over a glass of wine that, yeah, we're all in every day for Kamala Harris.
When you're using a drag queen to recruit for the Navy, that's not the people we want.
That is the candidate for Senate in Virginia. He's running against Tim Kaine, who's Hillary Clinton's vice presidential candidate. And this guy is a straight shooter. He's a veteran. He is a legal immigrant to the United States, and he doesn't take any prisoners.
When he was a young warthog.
When I was a young warthog.
Very nice.
Thanks.
Nice. I swear Donald Trump called her a warthog. I swear he did when I first started yesterday. That's what I thought. Let's play a cut three, at least the beginning of it, for the people here. Carl, please.
Harris is out on the campaign trail today with Liz Cheney. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Liz Cheney lost for Congress. She was terrible. Liz Cheney is a stupid warhawk.
When she was a young warthog.
Thank you for playing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I said earlier when we first played that bite, I watched this live on Fox yesterday. Bill Malugin was live reporting near the president's rally, and he'd had a chance to talk to him backstage. They edited together a couple of his comments, and I would have sworn that he referred to Liz Cheney as a warthog. and I had to go back and listen to it again because I'm thinking, well, I know what the headline's going to be tomorrow.
Do you know what's funny?
He's demeaning Liz Cheney as a warthog.
You have to actually go back and listen because Trump would do that. Like,
he
that
might.
Is something he might say.
Warhawk is who he was referring to her like her father, Dick Cheney, who you don't want to be to the left or right of if you're hunting, apparently. He might shoot you. But he's also sort of one of the ones being, when you think back on it, an architect of the Bush policy of getting us involved in a lot of foreign conflicts. And I don't know where you were on that at the time or if you've evolved on it now, but I'm not looking back. I see more of that for what it was than I did at the time, for sure. And now Dick Cheney hates Donald Trump. And guess what? Liz Cheney hates Donald Trump. And although George W. Bush is keeping his nose out of it, the Bushes hate Donald Trump. Why do they hate him? Because he didn't commit any of U.S. forces or monies to endless foreign wars when he was president. You can't get around that. He intentionally avoided those things. And guess who doesn't like that? The military-industrial complex doesn't like that. Because no matter where the war is, whether it's in Gaza or it's in Ukraine, that American money, taxpayer money, is transferred to defense contractors who then sell the weapons to go wherever the war is. And they don't want a president who's not going to participate in that. So their intentions are pretty clear, in my opinion, when you think about who's opposing Donald Trump this time around, particularly on the Republican side. The RINOs are certainly not big fans of that policy. All right, let's get to a break here. We've got Courtney Vail coming up. If you're a parent, maybe your kids are grown and gone, but you think back to getting up, seeing your kid at 6 in the morning, getting ready to go to high school, and grumpy and trying to hide behind the cereal box so they don't have to talk to you. I used to do that.
I used to hide behind the cereal boxes.
Are we making them get up too early? Are we making our sweet little darlings get out of bed too early? There's been a study over at St. Louis University. We're going to talk about it when we come back.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so Kim and Carl and I work on the morning show here, 97.1 FM Talk. I would say that while we don't have a PhD, we know a thing or two about sleep deprivation, particularly Carl Middleman, who often works the blues games till 10 or 11 o'clock at, or concerts like yep. Nicki Minaj till 1 a.m. and is then here at work at 3 a.m. It can be brutal. Right. That. But when I think of sleep deprivation, of course, it's all about me. I don't often think of the poor students who have to get up so early in the morning. But Courtney Vail has done a study on that. And from St. Louis University, we wanted to invite her in to talk more about. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Yeah. Can you help us out with our sleep deprivation on our early shift?
Well, on your early shift, I don't have a lot of say for your schedule, but for students here at the Prime Center, what we do is just focus on Missouri education and the issues that we think are important for student success. So that's why I chose to write this article, and I just appreciate you having me on.
What did you find with this, right? Because you're saying that school time should start later for kids.
Yeah, so I had an inkling as a parent myself that, and a rural Illinois student at one time, that schools were starting pretty early in the morning, and there's no local data source, so we did a lot of digging into the districts in Missouri, and the average start time in Missouri high schools is 7:48 a.m., and that is earlier than all eight of our border states' averages. It's earlier than the national average and 32 other states across America. It's 45 minutes earlier than medical experts suggest for middle and high schoolers to get adequate sleep. And according to a recent poll that SLU put out, about 3 in 4 parents also would support delaying high school start times until 8:30 in the morning.
So how did we end up here? I mean, is it that the other states became more enlightened to this problem and changed and Missouri didn't?
It's actually just been precedent. We have a large farming community in the center of the state, and so early start times have been natural and, precedent overtakes. And why are we doing it? Probably because we've always done it.
Well, I would just think, though, that parents maybe have to get to work themselves by 8 o'clock. And so if they're the ones driving their kids to school or they want to make sure their kid gets on the bus at the right time, it's conducive to make sure that the parent can get out the door, you know, to make it to work. But also their kid's already at school. They're not worrying about their kid being home still, you know, after they've already left the house.
Well, what's really funny about that is a lot of the larger school districts in Missouri have tiered start times, and they start their high schools the earliest. And then their middle schools, and then some of the elementary students aren't even going to work till 9 a.m. So those students that are in elementary that wouldn't be able to transport themselves or get themselves on the bus to school are actually starting way later than the high school students.
That's a great point. So is it that if you flipped this, wouldn't you have to delay it for everyone at that point? I mean, the elementary school students would be starting even later then, right?
Well, I think there's actually a way to just flip it to where the elementary students are starting the earliest. There's research to suggest it doesn't impact them negatively to start a little bit earlier than 8:30. So that recommendation from the American Academy of Pediatrics is for 6th to 12th grade students to start at 8:30 or later. And so to maintain busing and transportation costs, which is a big cited reason for not changing, you could kind of just flip the script on who starts earlier and who starts later.
Now, my son is not even 2 yet, so I might change my tune when he's, you know, of the age where he's going to high school and getting up really early. But I think about people who might say, you know, well, this teaches discipline, right? These kids need to get up. This is it's an introduction kind of to the real world. And well, a lot of people like us, you start a job really early. So what would you say to someone with that argument?
With that argument, I would say, why start sooner than we have to? If we want our students to perform the best that they can in high school, why not give them the adequate sleep that they need to be successful while they still can before they enter a world that is going to be not as kind to that that flexibility?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, you made reference to a lot of rural and farmland in the center of the state. My guess is those kids are up early anyway. They have to get up early and do these things. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you said that had some influence maybe on why school starts so early in Missouri.
Yeah, I think a long time ago when the majority of children were having to do those things before school, maybe that made sense. But I don't obviously know the statistics on the amount of children waking up and doing farm work before school, but I have to think it's a far less percent than in previous times.
I'm probably just ignorant to this, but each district gets to choose their own start time. There's not like a mandated, maybe you have to start by a certain time to get the hours in per day. Right. But you can choose when to start.
Correct. So each district has autonomy to set their schedule. There's a mandated number of hours of instructional hours per day they have to fit in. But other than that, so we found 3% of Missouri high schools are already starting after 8:30 a.m. But 1 in 5 are starting before 7:30.
Yeah. Courtney Vail, our guest with the Prime, talking about this study published by the Prime Center at St. Louis University. What kind of reaction are you getting to it? I mean, do you have reason to believe that districts may take this to heart and start making changes? Are you trying to lobby people in Jeff City to put some pressure on them? What has to happen next?
It's funny that you say that, because the main critique that I think people have said in the past that are against moving school start times is like, well, there's all these transportation schedules. The parents would throw a fit. The, the sports schedules would be all messed up. But I kind of have two counter arguments to that. First of all, the polling we did just 2 months ago suggests that 3 in 4 parents are in favor of moving school start times later. And additionally, 1 in 3 school districts in Missouri have a 4-day school week. And those 4-day school weeks attend school 4.5 hours less per week than on average. And so they're figuring out how to trim the fat of the day in a way that makes their days more efficient. And so if we need to shorten the day a little bit to still get out at the same time, other districts are figuring out how to do that.
Yeah. Courtney, where can people go to read the study if they're interested?
Yeah, we have a website at primecenter.org, and we publish on all sorts of education issues.
Very good. Courtney Vail, thank you. That's food for thought there. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yep, take care of yourself. Whoops, sorry, Carl. My bad there. Hit the wrong button. All right.
You need more sleep.
Yeah, I need more sleep. I'm sleep deprived. That's what happens to us here. Coming up, we'll get to Ryan Wiggins' Wiggins America segment up next.
For the GoFundMe page for the man you were talking to that was gathering stuff on his truck today, if you could tell me what to search for again. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, from the listener line there on the Odyssey app, we appreciate you calling in. You know, we did interview Lee Newbold a little earlier, and a pastor from Tennessee, close to the disaster area there, named Jeremy. They have combined their old friends. They used to serve together as air traffic controllers, and they knew each other. And from this end, Lee Newbold is leading a caravan down there today, a convoy, if you want to call it that, delivering pallets of water to Tennessee, to the eastern part of Tennessee. And he put up a GoFundMe page because, of course, there's a cost associated with this. A pallet of water costs about $360. You get 84 cases for that. So he put up a GoFundMe page to offset his expenses a little bit. And that GoFundMe page, if you go to the GoFundMe website, just search for Sponsor Water Pallets for East Tennessee. Sponsor Water Pallets for East Tennessee. It's got Lee Newbold's name on it, so you know you found the right page. And they've taken in about $1,000 since we mentioned that an hour ago. So thanks to all of you who have gone there and donated. Somebody donated $500. Somebody donated $100, $200. You can go to that GoFundMe page, and they're up to $1,325. Now, they're trying to raise $10,000. And they're you know, all the money is going to go to for transportation costs and buying the water to get the water down to Tennessee, where it'll be distributed. Let's get to Wiggins, please.
Who? Wiggins! Oh, Wiggins!
Ryan,
good morning.
How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Very good.
Good to see you.
So I was looking into some things about. I was looking into some affairs.
Uh oh. Bill Clinton didn't do it.
I do think that he may have had an affair, contrary to popular belief.
I did not have sexual relations with this woman.
He denied it, but then he later said, indeed I did.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Bad grammar, I misspoke. I'm a knucklehead sometimes.
So affairs are nothing new in politics. We probably know about more of them now than we ever have.
Yes. Yep.
It's probably always been going on.
You just got to follow the monkey business.
Yeah, exactly. Sex and money basically drive the entire world, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
We are in another political season now where everybody is having affairs. Like everybody who's run is basically associated with some sort of sexual improprieties. Donald Trump is, Kamala Harris is, RFK Jr. is. And so it's bipartisan. The problem
it's
is
bipartisan. They can all agree on
it. Is
the one issue they come together on.
They come together on.
They're
is,
all bi. Yeah, but go ahead.
You know what? So far, J.D. Vance and Tim Walz seem like they're coming out squeaky clean on this. It's the only one.
I don't know. Have you seen some of the Tim Walz stories? I don't know if half of them are true.
You know
but,
what? I didn't want to go
okay,
there.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
I
you.
Have.
Nothing
okay.
about J.D. Vance though that I've heard.
Nothing
not
confirmed.
So
certainly,
not with a human.
What?
Oh,
are
stop.
You suggesting?
That, no, that's
whoa,
completely
whoa.
Debunked.
No.
But, thank you.
What are you suggesting?
We'll tell you later.
Never mind.
Off the air.
But,
right.
But the one that's driving me crazy right now is the current first gentleman ever in the United States is in the midst of having his own affair controversy.
But he lifts women up.
That's kind of where I'm headed with this, is in the midst of all of this. So about a month ago, it came out that his first wife, who he's now divorced from, of course, because he's married to Kamala Harris, he had an affair on her, so with the nanny at the time. And apparently there was a pregnancy involved with the nanny. Don't know what happened to the baby, whether the baby is alive now and is a person or abortion.
Was aborted.
No, I no idea.
I have something to tell you guys. I am the dog. I'm kidding. No, go ahead.
Go ahead. So in the midst of all that, and then this new allegation, and again, this is just an allegation. I don't want to say that it's confirmed. The first one is confirmed. He actually has come out himself and said, yes, I had an affair. Yes, there was a baby. So all that's real. Now there's assault allegations on him that he was slapping his former girlfriend and stuff. And he's denying that. But the point is, in the midst of all of this, first of all, how many people even knew that this stuff was happening? Because
mainstream media has completely covered that up.
And imagine if this was the second lady or the potential first lady, because that's what he is, you know, possibly going to be the first gentleman. If that was happening to anybody else, imagine what the coverage would be, okay? Not that it would be headline news every day, but you would know about it.
Well, they did the whole hit piece on Melania. I remember when she was doing the cover of the magazine and the things.
Oh, yeah. They've been brutal to her.
Right.
So anything that comes out like this, it would be pretty salacious. TMZ would be talking mm-hmm. about it. Probably mainstream news, if not headline all the time, it would be a news item that you'd know about. In the midst of this, though, Jen Psaki, not only do they not cover it, Jen Psaki decides to do an interview with him and titled the interview "The New Face of Masculinity."
Yeah, yeah.
You
There's
got a clip.
Pop culture phrase "wife guy," which you've kind of been known as. Are you familiar with this?
I've heard about
as
it.
As called a wife guy, a proud wife guy. How do you feel about that?
Well, if I do something annoying to Kamala and she gets upset, I'll just show her that article.
Right.
I'll say, I'm trying.
Or a T-shirt or a mug.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but So when Jen Psaki suggested he was lifting women up, she didn't mean by hitting them so hard their feet leave the floor?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, all that's right. not all what right. she meant. Now, I don't know if you know this about Jen Psaki. She seems to be a little bit of a partisan herself.
Oh, no,
I have,
what?
No.
Yeah.
I think you should circle back to that because I'm not sure that I really agree with that.
I see what you did there.
Thank
Peppermint
you.
Patty would not do something
Thank
like
you very
that.
Much. No, this shocked me because you I've continued to see, you know, we search news. You've got articles all over the desk yes. all the time.
Mark Cox never does
Mark
that.
Cox
Come
is,
on.
Is very, very prepared.
I kill many trees daily.
But the stuff we see, you know, if there's a hint of a rumor, we're probably seeing it. And this stuff's been in the news for 2 months now, roughly, this stuff about Doug Emhoff. And it's not as if it's not out there. It's just not being reported widely. And then what really, really irks me about this story in particular is that it is salacious. It's one of those, like, ooh stories that people would grab onto. It's clickbait. It's the kind of stuff news does. And they're still not doing
it. They're ignoring it.
And then doing this kind of stuff.
And he denied it. And this is the group of people during the hashtag MeToo era who said you have to give women the benefit of the doubt. But apparently not in this case.
No, not in this. In this case, not only do you not have to give women the benefit of the doubt, you do an interview with him on mainstream media and not even address it
not
and call
it.
Him a wife hero guy. For women.
Why don't they interview Diddy and tell him that he's redefined masculinity?
That would be great.
Yeah.
I would love to see really any interview with Diddy right now.
Yeah, but that's true.
It might have been the Babylon Bee, but they had an ad on there for a new shirt you can buy. It's the Doug Emhoff wife beater.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
No kidding.
It wasn't his wife. It was a former girlfriend or something?
You know who really loved that was the Crickets.
Carl, you really like that Cricket button, don't you?
The Doug Emhoff.
I was told
I'm not making it up.
The rim
it's true.
Shot too much.
Yeah,
never enough.
Yeah, this is true stuff. And just another, as if you needed another example that the mainstream media doesn't really have your best interests in mind. Certainly not no bias here. It is full bias and full coverage, full blocking for their side all the time.
All the time. The guy from, I don't know if you've seen it yet, the O'Keefe Media Group did another undercover piece with some MSNBC employees, a producer.
Oh, no, I haven't seen
who
this.
Just admitted that they're all in. But play that for him, Carl. Cut number seven. Listen.
So is MSNBC just like doing whatever it takes to get this home elected?
Yes, yes. It hammers home the point that I'm making, that this news network is indistinguishable from the party.
Are they just the Democratic Party's mouthpiece?
Exactly.
MSNBC is the Democratic Party's mouthpiece.
Yes. Yes.
Basil calls MSNBC viewers brainwashed.
Basil. Wow. The guy's name is Basil Hamdan or something like that.
Do you think he thought that he was maybe going on a date with that girl and that's why he was willing to disclose that?
That's what they always do.
Yeah, that's what O'Keefe does sometimes.
Yeah.
With guys.
O'Keefe goes on a lot of dates. Well, you know what? He's a little more recognizable now.
He is.
But
he has to go in disguise when he does
like
that.
He needs like a Matt Walsh disguise.
Yeah, put a wig on
a
him.
A wig,
like,
the glasses,
no
a man
is.
Bun.
Have you seen that movie yet?
I saw Am I Racist? It was really, really funny. Have you seen it?
I have not. Kim has.
I did. I thought it was hilarious.
We got to interview the producer who is, Matt Walsh says in the movie, you know, I have
Ben.
15 to 17 black friends. And Ben is the producer that comes in during some of the interviews. And we got to interview him.
And they got Robin DiAngelo to pay Ben reparations.
Yes, and so we got to ask him about all this. One of the questions I asked him was, speaking to, you know, getting recognized, how many times did you go into an interview and people were like, that's Matt Walsh. I'm not doing an interview. He said zero times.
Wow.
Except for the very first one, which is in the movie, halfway through it. And it's set up for the narrative of the movie is that he's like, oh, they recognize me in this one meeting. Now I have to go undercover. Yeah. And he just puts a wig on.
Oh my, yeah, it was hilarious.
But apparently that's the only time that they did any interview that somebody recognized him.
One of the best parts of that movie is where there's a diagram. Like, it shows pictures of people smiling because it says that sometimes white people smile too big at black people and it's very offensive. And so it shows the different levels of smiling. I know this is not good for radio, but it's so, I mean, the last one is like eyes completely bugged out of the head. It looks like they slept with a hanger in their mouth.
It's yeah, it's like the black
saying,
hole sun
you're,
video.
You're racist if you smile that hard.
It's not possible for a human to have that. Yeah. But that was so funny.
That is so funny. All right. Ryan will hang around with us. We're going to take a quick break. We're back here in just a minute.
Walmart, I think there are four stores here in the St. Louis area. Every store is out of toilet paper. Every store. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if you just missed the news this morning, but the strike is over. Like, the dock workers, the longshoremen and women have gone back to work.
Well, until January 15th. So there will be toilet paper until January 15th, and then they'll start hoarding it again.
I really think this was a setup from the get-go. I just got to say that. People are started hoarding toilet paper. All the toilet paper is made in the United States, people. It's not made in China. So China. You didn't have to worry about it not making it in on the ship. And a week ago, my friend was telling me he was at Sam's and they were out of toilet paper. But the strike is effectively over. And Ryan, I don't know if you noticed this, but oddly enough, the administration didn't seem all that worried about it. And then Joe Biden is taking the side of labor and he's not going to invoke Taft-Hartley.
Okay. Now, you're implying maybe that there was a little bit of collusion behind the scenes there.
I am, indeed.
I don't want to give them that much credit. I think they are actually just incompetent. So I think that they went, huh? There's a strike? Oh, no. It's October. There's an election happening. They don't know anything about what they're doing. Because somebody came to me yesterday who works here in the office, is conservative-leaning, certainly, and said, hey, you hearing some of these things they're talking about with them, you know, really bungling the response to the hurricane because it's mostly affecting more rural red areas.
And Republicans,
and I said, look, I don't think they're above anything. I'm not saying it's not possible that they would have a political angle to everything they're doing. I also think that they're just that incompetent. They're not going to be able to help people because they don't know what they're doing.
Not that organized. You yeah. may have a point, Ryan, and that is because if you saw this video of Joe Biden being asked, what do the states in the storm zone need after what you saw today? And he said, storm zone? What are you talking about? Oh, that storm.
Oh
Hurricane
gosh.
Helene that's killed over 200 people. That's what you're talking about? And he made some comment after that, and it's hard to hear the audio because there's clearly a helicopter in the back, but he says something like, "They have we're giving them everything they need. They're happy."
No, somebody opened up, and I don't know if it's still this way, within the last couple of days, opened up the FEMA website, and the number one priority still at that time, maybe now, on the FEMA website was DEI. It was diversity. Oh, it was the top thing on the website was that we need to have a more diverse, inclusive, equitable FEMA or something like that. And you're like, are you serious? Kamala Harris is on record talking about how that is the most important thing for FEMA. You know, these people, they just have no idea what their priorities should be as leaders and governors.
What are the states in the storm zone? What do they need after what you saw today?
Oh, in the storm zone?
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering what storm you're talking about. They're getting everything they need. And they're very happy across the board. So we just got to keep... I'm going to have to go back to the Congress and get some more money for this.
Mr. President...
I didn't know what storm you were talking about, is what Joe Biden says. And they goes, oh, they're very happy. They're getting everything they need.
Well, they're getting $750, Mark.
Within 10 days. But if you listen to the interviews with people down there, they don't feel like they're getting the kind of response, like all hands on deck response that they need. Ryan, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I mean, I do. The response to Hurricane Katrina, George W. Bush got raked over the coals. He was accused of understaffing New Orleans specifically because it's mostly black people and it's a chocolate city, I remember the mayor saying at the time. And he did this for racial reasons because he didn't care about the black people in Louisiana.
Yeah.
I specifically remember that.
Kanye West got on that thing.
Yeah.
And said,
yeah,
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
He did.
And yet the media is completely treating
the Biden administration with kid gloves about this.
Well, the problem is, look, this is a hurricane. It's not as if the government can be like, well, we've solved hurricanes. You know, I mean, they're going to try to do it through climate change, but my point is not that. Yeah. My point is, if you get hit with a major natural disaster, there's levels of preparedness you can have. You can have very unprepared, and you can have very prepared. And even at the level of very prepared, there's going to be problems.
Sure.
So that's not an issue. The issue now is that they're talking about how much underfunding FEMA has had because of illegal immigration. They're talking about how some of the leadership of the federal government is trying to prevent local help from happening from citizens. And they're, you know, they're speculating that, well, it's because they don't want drones to fly over because that creates a lot of pictures. You know, this kind of stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah.
They interviewed a helicopter pilot who was just a guy. He just had a helicopter. He probably has a business that has something to do with helicopters. And he was going around rescuing people, and they've come after him for doing that.
I think he was a volunteer firefighter.
Yeah, they're mad at him for rescuing people.
Well, what do people think who support open borders here in the United States? What do they think about not enough money being allocated to help these hurricane survivors? I mean, seriously, what do they think? Because they're all about, you have to be compassionate. Well, what about those people who've lost family and friends and their home, their livelihood?
It's just money, Kim. Why are you so focused on the cost?
That's true.
Come on.
Yeah. Good
point, Mark.
We're
doing what we need to do. Come on. That seems to be the attitude. Ryan, remind people when they can listen to Wiggins America this
Saturday
week.
Saturday mornings, 7 to 8. Sunday evenings, 7 to 8.
Outstanding. What was that, Carl?
I thought. What?
What?
I didn't know that.
You didn't?
What?
Come on. We need a stinger that says that. We play during Wiggins.
Do you have stingers?
Can make that
I have
happen.
A stinger that
All
says
right.
Wiggins. Oh, you can play that one anytime.
Wiggins. Oh!
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Kilmeade will be up next with the latest on the hurricane recovery efforts that are going on around the country. We'll see you back here Monday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.